number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Click and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You know the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
This is a 53-yarder. Jason Myers for the win. The snap and hold are good. He kicks it up. This kick is good. This kick is
wow.
The Jaguars have beaten the Ravens on a 53-yard field goal from Jason Myers. Are you kidding me?
Newton in the shotgun. Newton's going to run it himself. Newton extends the ball for the end zone.
Yeah,
touchdown. Carolina Panthers.
Newton, I don't know how you did that with that big old mitt.
It's first and 10 at the 44. Ben goes empty set. They bring four. And the pass over the middle on his way. Antonio, 30, 20, 15, 10. Steelers, touchdown. Antonio Brown.
52 yards. Field goal attempt. Brett Good, the snap. Tim Mastey down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. No good. And the Lions hang on to win 18-16.
Tony D with you.
This is Tony D working the third shift.
From the Click and Loan studios, here's
Tony D.
Tony D.
Win is nothing but win is here on Yahoo Sports Radio, WJXL in Jacksonville, as the Jags pull out a really, really weird win over the Baltimore Ravens. We got to get into that one. Also, Carolina Panthers WBT in Charlotte. Cam Newton, a touchdown run against the Tennessee Titans. They are now 9-0. DVE in Pittsburgh, Big Ben, Antonio Brown, that 58-yard touchdown as the Steelers beat Cleveland. And then Mason Crosby doesn't do it much, missing a field goal, and that is on WTMJ as the Detroit Lions, who have not won at Lambeau Field since 1991, get a victory over the Green Bay Packers, a team that last week we said was a complete and utter disaster, basically getting rid of everybody in the front office, starting to strip that team bare. Rumors about Calvin Johnson was going to get traded and Matt Stafford is going to get out of there. And it, I mean, just strip it down to the bone and start all over again. And they went to Green Bay and got a victory. This league continues to amaze. You know, some of us watch this sport for a variety of reasons. Some of us because we play fantasy football. Some of us because we play daily fantasy football. Some of us because we may actually have a little bit of monetary interest in the outcome of the game, if you know what I mean. But sometimes just pure old entertainment is what you get. Not every single game can be a gem, but we got a number of games that ended either in particular ways or just ended up having just fun afternoons. Yeah, and there's controversy. There are people that are going to be discussing how games ended or how games came about for a while. This was that kind of fun weekend in the National Football League. To join us on the show tonight, 800-777-2907. Or if you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, you can do that as well at Tony D Radio. We will get your thoughts and comments on all of the things that we're going to get to tonight, because we're going to hit every team and we're going to hit every situation, including the Dallas Cowboys, who lose again. And now they're dropped to 2-7. And guess what? They're still not out of it. But you got to think that this isn't good. Even with Tony Romo coming back, there's something about this team that just cannot win. And it can't just be, well, once you get Romo, you'll start winning some games. It's a bad day for Dez Bryant, a bad day for the Cowboys. They lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot to get to tonight, but I do want to start in Denver, because this is where controversy is going to rear its ugly head. As Peyton Manning threw four interceptions today, four, and looked miserable in a loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Kansas City has not beaten Denver since Peyton Manning became a Bronco. It's a seven-game losing skid to Denver, and it looked simple after you start intercepting Peyton Manning and went 5 of 20 for 35 yards with four interceptions. Now, where's the controversy? Well, Manning is injured. What's the severity of the injury? Apparently not enough to keep him out, and apparently not enough for Gary Kubiak to say, hey, you're out. So Manning went out there and played injured. He played hurt. Now, on the one hand, let me make this clear. We often praise athletes for doing this. We often say he's a gamer, and this is the kind of stuff we want our athletes to do. Go out there and give it the best. Go out there and take what you have out there on the field and leave it all out as much as you can. But at the same time, we do want our coaches And those in charge, whether that's the front office in the general manager role or just coaches down on the field running the team, we need them to be responsible with our teams. And Gary Kubiak and the Denver Broncos were not responsible when dealing with Peyton Manning. This happened last year, and it's happened again. And this time, instead of Manning limping through the regular season, where we started going, gee, doesn't really look right. Something's not right. Is he really hurt? Because he seems really hurt, but he's not saying he's hurt. And the Broncos aren't saying that he's hurt. Seems to be fine. He's going to be playing. So apparently he's not hurt. And then after the season, the Broncos went right to the he's hurt card. Yeah, you know that loss to the Indianapolis Colts where the Colts made it look too easy? Yeah, just to let you know, he's been hurt this whole time. So instead of getting that sort of mystery around the Broncos, we got Peyton Manning, to use a tired old cliche, doing the Willie Mays center field act for the New York Mets. Stumbling, looking ridiculous, not knowing where he's throwing the football, making bad throws, looking like an injured old quarterback. So much so that Twitter was abuzz with, this should be the end of Peyton Manning, he should call it quits. He's an injured quarterback. But that's not how you should be looking at this game. You should be looking at this game from the standpoint of, as much as it may pain you, and as much as it may be difficult to do, somebody in that organization needed to tell Peyton Manning he can't play quarterback against the Kansas City Chiefs. That he needed to sit out. Because the goal of this season is to not set records at home. The goal of this season is to not just get through a season so you can complete another year. The goal of this season was for trying to take a solid defense that is capable of shutting teams down and getting them to the playoffs where they can make a Super Bowl run, even with an offense that's not in tip-top shape. This was a failure on Kubiak's part, and it is a tough position to be in. But this was a failure. Yeah, I understand. Who's going to tell Peyton Manning he can't play? Oh, I don't know. The head coach. You don't wait until he throws four interceptions and looks like he doesn't belong out on the field to finally pull the plug. If you knew he was incapable of doing these kind of things, then you need to make a decision to save the season. You could have hurt him even more than he's already hurt. This was a bad, bad performance. And that's an understatement. This looked miserable. And let me tell you, he set the all-time passing record, but there was no orchestrated dance with other players because he had a miserable day. This is a day he'll remember and a day he will want to forget. When he was throwing all these touchdown passes and having fun and Broncos were winning all these games, yeah, sending a few marks made everybody happy, including him. This was a game where he would say, on the day I set a record was the day I had my worst ever outing as a professional football player. We'll talk to Renaud Notaro, our man out in Denver, at the bottom of the hour, get the thoughts on what the hell had happened all week long with the Broncos and Gary Kubiak, and why wasn't this taken care of earlier so we didn't have to see one of the all-time great quarterbacks embarrass himself out on the football field. 800-777-2907 is the number. We got a lot to get to. Like I said, we're going over all the games in Week 10, some of the nooks and crannies, maybe some things you missed, but we'll review it all. It's coming up on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. Again, Renaud Notaro in Denver will join us at the bottom of the hour. We will go live to him, talk about what's going on with the Broncos and Peyton Manning, because if this is how it's all going to come to an end, I just hope it's not. I really don't. I love Peyton Manning. He's one of the more enjoyable athletes we have in this league. You know, I know he gets ripped for maybe just being too good to be true, right? You know, he's just, everybody loves him because he's this guy and he's just an everyday schmuck and he's out there throwing passes. This was just such a bad performance, and I hope this is not the beginning of the end. I hope we get a little bit more of a run somewhere for him, but it's not been a good year, and that was just an embarrassing game. All right, let's go to Dave in Maryland, who wants to talk about the wild Jacksonville-Baltimore finish. How are you, Dave?
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Just want to talk about, you know, what a ridiculous. These referees should be ashamed of themselves, and they owe John Harbaugh and the Ravens a public apology. I mean, they literally took a win out of their hand today and lost it for them. I mean, yes, the Ravens have been a pretty bad team this year, Tony. You know, we know that. They just haven't got things going on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. But you cannot blame this on the Ravens. I mean, that 15-yard penalty was totally unnecessary at the end. They called on my buddy Elvis Dumervil. I mean, he barely had his helmet, and it was ridiculous. I mean, the time is already down to zero anyway, so really the game was supposed to have been over already anyway. I mean, I think they just have it in for the Ravens because they have been so successful in the past, and I think they just, you know, have it in for them because they're so successful in the past that, you know, they want to give everyone the opportunity to beat them this year. I mean, it's just a disgrace to have these referees refereeing football games because, I mean, they're totally don't know anything about football.
Dave, are you honestly telling me that Elvis Dumervil did not grab the face mask of Blake Bortles? He absolutely grabbed the face mask of Blake Bortles.
He didn't blatantly grab his face mask. I'll put it to you that way. He didn't blatantly grab it and pull it. He may have held on to it, but in that situation, you're playing at home. There's no way you should be calling a penalty against the home
team. Of course you should. Wait a minute. Hold on, Dave. I mean, it's face mask. You can't. First of all, the way the league protects quarterbacks, you cannot grab the face mask of a quarterback. You might be able to get away with grabbing a face mask of an offensive lineman, or you might be able to grab, or somebody like that, but you cannot grab the face mask of a quarterback and take him down via the face mask. You can't. The league will never let you do that.
But Tony, that cost the Ravens a game if they don't call that call.
Too bad. Elvis Dumervil should be blamed for this. It cost him the game because Elvis Dumervil committed an infraction that allowed the Ravens, the Jaguars, to get a 15-yard penalty and kick a field goal. That's on Elvis Dumervil. That's not on the officials.
How about if they only called a 5-yard penalty on that? Do you think Jacksonville still wins it with a long field goal?
Why would you call a 5-yard penalty when it's a 15-yard penalty for a clear face mask?
But I'm saying you could have just called a 5-yard penalty and make it a little harder for them. I mean, they still would have probably made it.
Why, though? Wait a minute. But think about it from the Jacksonville perspective. If you're Jacksonville, what would you do? What would you say? Wait a minute. So you're admitting that a guy grabbed my quarterback's face mask and dragged him down by the face mask, but we're only going to give 5 yards because why not, right?
Tony, do you think that was blatant? I don't think it was blatant at all.
He was, I don't care. He's dragging Blake Bortles down by the face. Listen, this is the one thing I've always believed about the face mask penalty. The thing about the face mask penalty is this. When we got penalties like, did he lean with his head or did he go with his shoulder? They're bang, bang. If you're a player and you're grabbing onto a guy and you hold onto his face mask, let go. You can't, you know, face mask. When you're a player and you're grabbing like a jersey or you're grabbing a shoulder pad or you're grabbing something and you grab something that feels like a face mask, let it go because there's no reason at all you should be holding onto a face mask. You can't do it.
They're 6'3", 250 pounds. I mean, why do they got to be sissies? Why does Blake Bortles
Dave, hold on. I know you're upset with the Ravens losing. But here's where your triangle is falling apart. In the beginning, you were saying, hey, they have it out for the Ravens because the Ravens are too successful. Fine. This wasn't a face mask. Wrong. This wasn't a blatant face mask. It doesn't matter. Well, why should they give him 15 yards? Because it's a face mask penalty. That's 15 yards. Now you're basically saying that in the end, what the referee should have done in that game is ignore the rules because they should feel like, nah, face mask. Who cares? This is irrelevant. You know what? I'm gonna make up my own rules as we go along. And my rules today say everybody plays with face masks and spears and flames of fire.
Tony.
You can't do that, Dave. You have to live by the rules that the rules are in place. And the rules say you can't grab a face mask and drag somebody to the ground. And that's exactly what Elvis Dumervil did.
I mean, if it would have been against if they would have been playing the Patriots, you know they're not going to because they favor the Patriots. Hello? They favor the Patriots.
You are
fun.
Why do
you think the Patriots have had so much success throughout the years? Yes, they've been a great football team, but they hardly ever call any penalties against. They're probably one of the least penalized teams in NFL, the Patriots are. You look at it.
I'll have to look that up. I just can't take your word for it. Thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it.
I just watched the replay again. Blake Bortles spun all the way. First of all, his head spun first, and then his body was about 2 seconds behind. That's how hard he pulled his face mask.
I love Dave because Dave loves his team. Like, this is the one thing about Dave. He loves his team so much. I got to say, a lot of you guys who call this show that just want to say, hey, Tony, can I just complain about my team or can I just say this about the game? Very rarely do any of you go down to the straight conspiracy, dive right on into the referees have it out for my team. Dave just jumps into that pool as soon as he can. Elvis Dumervil committed one of the dumbest penalties I have seen ever. And he absolutely should have been flagged for it. And this isn't a we hate Baltimore thing. This isn't a we got to make up for some game 5 years ago thing. This isn't Jacksonville hasn't won very many games. This would be cool if they did type of thing. This is, hey, you're not supposed to grab the quarterback's face mask and drag him down. And because you did that, they get another play in 15 yards. Good luck. You're just watching it. And listen, like I said earlier, though, that wasn't me. I didn't come up with that bit of wisdom on the face mask. I've heard this from coaches time and time again. If you're a player and you're flying in at top speed, but when you grab a guy to bring him down and you know your hand is on a guy's face mask, you've got to let go. You know that. You may not know if you went in with your head or your shoulder because you may just be flying in too fast. You may not know about, you may hold real quick just trying to get a guy from going around you. Number of penalties that are done with that where you go, oh, gee, I wasn't even sure I was even committing that. Face mask isn't really one of them. Yeah, you're going in at high speed. Yes, you may be only holding on to it for a second or two. But let me tell you, the initial reaction of, I've grabbed it. I've grabbed this face mask. And here's the thing. Elvis Dumervil doesn't even let go. He takes him all the way to the ground via face mask.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was terrible.
I'm just glad this week we got to figure out what a catch is in the NFL.
What a joke this was. I mean,
plays throughout the day.
Yeah, we got to get to that in this hour. Renaud Notaro in Denver is going to join us next as we break down what is going on with Peyton Manning. I really want to know, when did they know? How did they know it? Is he really this hurt? Because I don't want to see him embarrassed anymore, and somebody's going to have to stop Peyton for his own good because we can't put up with this anymore. All right, Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
I get a little passionate sometimes. I get a little off the edge sometimes. And sometimes I need to be reminded of facts of a situation. That's why we go to Renaud Notaro at Mile High Sports Radio to help us break down what's going on in Denver with Peyton Manning and the Broncos. But before we do that, we want to welcome in our new affiliate, WNJC, 1360 AM out in Philadelphia. I want to welcome you into Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio as we go over Week 10 of the National Football League. Welcome to the family here on YSR. All right, Renaud, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I said earlier, I went on this rant earlier tonight where I was just like, all right, somebody's got to answer for this Peyton Manning injury because I don't want to see him embarrassed. I don't want him out there playing if he's hurt. Somebody needs to be on the higher up and make Peyton Manning sit down because he's not going to do it himself. I need to relax a little bit because I know it's a little bit more complicated than that. So I'm going to start off by asking you this, Renaud. All week leading into this game, you guys in the media that cover this team, what did you know of his injuries leading up to the game?
Well, we knew about his foot problem, the plantar fasciitis, that got out on Tuesday. And then all of a sudden on Saturday, we learned about his rib. And so that's what we knew. And, Gary Kubiak took the responsibility today after the game, saying that it was his fault, Kubiak's fault, and that he should not have allowed Peyton Manning to play because Manning said that, and this is all coming out after the game, these comments, Manning said he thought he could go and that's why he went, but instead it hurt the team. he says he played when he shouldn't have been playing.
So Manning knew he was hurt, but he felt like he could play. Kubiak, what did he feel? He felt like he just trusted Manning, or did he have his own evaluations that said it was worse?
Well, he trusted Manning to tell him what he was telling him, that, hey, I can go. And Kubiak, instead of putting his foot down, saying no, that he let him play, and that that was a mistake. And you saw what happened today. It was just, it was a mess.
All right, where are we now, today? Is Manning on the same page with Kubiak in terms of, what did they say afterwards to make us think that, okay, there's some cooler heads that are going to prevail here for next week as we go into workouts and the injury, and if it's not right, are cooler heads going to prevail here, or are we still going to have the, Manning wants to play, so I got to let him play?
Well, I don't know. I think because of what happened today, Kubiak has put the hammer down, and if Manning is not healthy, he's not going to play. And I don't think Manning is healthy, and I don't think he's going to play. I think it'll be Brock Osweiler against the Bears, and I think it'll be Brock Osweiler now against the Patriots. It was interesting because I do a show, a Broncos pregame show on 104.3 The Fan here in Denver Sunday mornings leading in, and I was saying how I thought that Manning should sit these next two games, meaning the game today and the game next week against the Bears, so that he'd be healthy for the Patriots game. Because if it is the plantar fasciitis, the only way to recover from plantar fasciitis is to sit, to rest. You need rest. And Kubiak had said last week that Manning irritated his foot by playing against the Colts on that turf. Well, if that's the case, then you need rest, because that's the only way to make the foot better. So I thought, sit this week, sit next week, then you'll be ready for the big game against the Patriots that will probably ultimately decide home field in the AFC. But, he played, we saw what happened, and he obviously must have been, and he is much more injured than we thought.
Didn't we go down this road with him, though, last year, where we all knew something was wrong, he didn't look very good, and everyone kept saying, I think he's hurt. And they were like, no, he's not hurt. We're just establishing a running game. And then at the end of the season, within seconds after they got embarrassed by the Colts, the Broncos went, oh yeah, by the way, he's been hurt this whole time.
Yeah, the thigh.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and I think that's why, and it's sad, because I tweeted during the game as I was watching this, I think it was at the third or fourth interception that it, and I'm not old enough to remember this, but reading and seeing this and hearing about this, it reminded me of hearing about Namath and Unitas when they were ending their careers. Namath with the Rams, Unitas with the Chargers, and how that those ended unceremoniously. And you can also think back to, what was it, Willie Mays with the Mets, and how
exactly.
He was fumbling around in the outfield with the New York Mets at the end of his career. And it just kind of made me think about that. And, hopefully it doesn't end this way, but it wasn't a good sign. Kubiak has to be held responsible, because if he said after the game that he should have started Osweiler, well, if that were the case, the Broncos probably would have had a better chance of even being in this game today instead of immediately being out of the game. I mean, the first pass that Manning threw was a wounded duck down the field, and it was intercepted. So, it didn't start off well. And then, look, I don't want to blame injuries on everything, but this Broncos offensive line is horrible. They're not good. They're barely workable healthy, and they're far from being healthy. And so it's difficult for any quarterback to play behind this offensive line. This offensive line is not a very talented offensive line right now.
Look, I always give credit to players. Look, one of the things we admire about them is that they'll play hurt and they want to play, and you can't get them off that field. And so I don't want to sound like, you know, Manning should know better type of thing. He's a different breed than maybe all of us in terms of the way we think.
That's where a coach has to come in and say, "You're hurt. You're not going to play. I know you're Peyton Manning, but I'm sorry, I have to put the hammer down and say, you're sitting, Osweiler's playing." And that's where it has to go to Kubiak. And after the game, after the fact, Kubiak took responsibility on that.
But also at the point, one of the things that makes Manning a little different, though, and this is kind of where I'm kind of contrasting this whole gamer mentality versus one of the smartest football players we've ever seen, is that you feel like there's the scale that leans towards intelligence of, hey, I really can't do this. I've been in this league a long time. I've played this position since I was a little kid. This is what my foot is doing. This is what my legs are doing. This is what my rib is feeling, and I am not going to be effective. And here's the deal. I've got two other teams in this conference that are unbeaten. And right now I'm throwing interceptions, and if we lose this game, we're going to end up playing an extra game in the playoffs if we're not careful here. And I just want to know if there's a balance with him. I mean, in a good way, is he just stubborn like this, where he's just like, no, you're going to have to drag me off the field regardless?
Well, of course he is. I think every great
did you hear what I said earlier? He's different, though, because one of the things we brag about with Manning is he's the smartest guy you'll ever meet. He's smarter than all the other players that you'll ever meet. Well, where is that intelligence in this situation?
Well, I think this is the competitor. And I think you it's in this situation, you kind of throw that out the window, because he's a competitor. He said he thought he could play, and so he told the coaches, I can play. I feel well. I feel as though I can perform. And I think that maybe there's a mental block, or maybe he convinces himself that he can play.
This is where I struggle with this, though, because I understand where you're coming from, because these guys, again, are a different breed. But here's a man who knows what his body feels like throwing a football. And he's also smart enough to know this is what the ball will do under these situations when my body feels like this. I've been through all of these things. I've been through a number of injuries in my career. Initially, if he's out there throwing these kind of ducks, at some point he needs to go, I can't work myself out of it because I'm physically unable to work my way out of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a mental thing. It's not like, I'm not seeing the receivers, or I'm not understanding the play calling. That's something you can work through. But if he says, when I plant this foot, I can't feel it, or if I plant this foot, I can't get velocity, then an intelligent quarterback like Peyton Manning should say to the coaches, I'm killing us. And if I kill us, I could kill our season.
But I think that's a great point, and sometimes there's probably some selfishness with these great players, because they've been able to do this their entire life, and it's probably hard for him to come to grips with what's happening. I go back to Namath and Unitas and Willie Mays, and, you know, it rarely ends well. I my first year covering the Denver Broncos was 1996, and I remember John Elway's retirement. And John Elway at the podium saying, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore. And that was after two straight wins in the Super Bowl. And you think, well, just come back and do whatever you were just doing, because you have all this talent around you. And Elway knew, I just can't do it anymore. I have to retire. Well, you know, Manning probably wants that Super Bowl so badly. He had a shot a few years ago with the Broncos, and they were completely embarrassed, and he just wants that second Super Bowl victory, and he's doing everything he can, because he knows if he says, I can't go, then it's over. And it's it's not a pretty sight. And as everyone says, Father Time always wins.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Renaud Notaro, Mile High Sports Radio out in Denver. Also 104.3 The Fan out in Denver. Real quick, though, this even though this game got out of hand and you're giving the Chiefs a whole bunch of field position, the Broncos' defense, how did it play?
I think they played pretty well. I mean, they were put in bad situations. They lost their temper. T.J. Ward is, you know, he's a hothead. I mean, at least he threw a punch on a guy instead of throwing a glass at a woman. So, you know, good for him for punching a guy and not going after a woman. But, yeah, he lost his cool and got thrown out of the game. But there's only so much you can do when you get put in these bad positions. I mean, they kept giving up field goals, which is a good sign. They were trying to hold the Chiefs to field goals most of the time. So, all things considered, I think, I maybe a B minus, B for the defense, just off the top of my head. I haven't really graded everything out. But, you know, considering they were put in such poor positions, so many. I mean, five interceptions, four by Manning, one by Osweiler. It's hard to keep your cool. And the Broncos defense was saying all the right things because it is Peyton Manning. It is this future Hall of Fame quarterback. And so you don't want to pile on this guy out of respect to him.
Yeah,
but I'm sure in the back of their mind, I'm sure tonight at the strip clubs or wherever they are tonight, they're mad as hell. So we'll see what happens. But I'm sure Osweiler will start next week. And to me, I think Osweiler starts until Manning's healthy.
Renaud Notaro, Mile High Sports Radio. Appreciate it as always, my friend. Thank you so much for the conversation and the insight on this team and a developing story on the future of Peyton Manning, at least for the next couple of weeks. Appreciate it as always, my man.
Anytime, Tony, anytime.
You got it. Listen, I'm not a big... It's not that I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. It's just that I don't like seeing this because I wondered all year what this year was going to be like for him. And to see today, it was just terrible. And I just get frustrated because you got to get off of this whole, you can't tell Peyton Manning what, of course you can. Why can't you? I'm sick of this. You know, if Manning, really? He's a future Hall of Famer, yes. But he didn't make this franchise. He's not John Elway, okay? He's not the greatest Bronco quarterback to ever play. All right, let's make this clear. He didn't take the franchise from nothing and build it up. So he came as a free agent. He came, he got them winning again. But in no way, shape, or form is he bigger than the organization. There's no way, shape, or form that he should be his way or no way. Somebody in those halls should have said, "You're too hurt to play. I'll be the heavy. I'll sit you down. I know you don't want to sit down, but I'm going to. Because we're going to play Tom Brady in 2 weeks, and we want you extremely healthy for that game. And we got a huge lead in the division, so don't worry about it. But when we play the Patriots, that could be a very big game for us, and we need you. Kansas City, fine. Bears, fine. We'll figure it out. But you sit down." Instead, cost them a game. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. It is Tony D here on the Nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio as we go over Week 10 in the National Football League.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Well, I guess Greg Hardy had to be separated from yet another Dallas Cowboy player today in the game against Tampa Bay. Gotten a little scuffle with DeMarcus Lawrence. And while it did not escalate into utter catastrophe, it's another Greg Hardy situation for the Dallas Cowboys.
So
but look,
he didn't turn into like pushing a coach or Jerry Jones or somebody else. I don't know, the ball boy.
Grabbing a fan out of the stands and driving him into the turf.
Right.
Something along those lines. Throwing equipment into the stands or anything like that. No. It didn't, but yet it's another Greg Hardy situation. Yikes. I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm 50-50 with Greg Hardy. On the other hand, I roll my eyes because I can't wait till Monday when Jerry Jones talks about how, hey, you know what, this is Greg Hardy is the exact person we need on this team. The kind of person that will just be disruptive and get into people's faces and tell them all the things that they don't want to hear. That's the kind of leadership we're looking for on this team. But on the other side of the coin, they've lost 7 in a row in rather bad shape. And I guess I'd be frustrated too. It's not why I joined this team. And Jerry's probably like, I'd like to keep him around longer, but at this rate, he's probably thinking, oh, somebody with a pulse, I'd rather play for. At this point, Jacksonville's looking attractive. Maybe Tampa will want me. I still can't believe the Dallas Cowboys can't win a game without Tony Romo. Believe me, I understand Tony Romo's an important guy. Believe me, I understand Tony Romo gives you a great chance to win. But you can't squeeze out one all-out effort where everybody is just, no, we're all on the same page. We're going to go out there and play. Dez Bryant looked like he couldn't catch a football today's game. It was 12 targets. He had 5 catches. Although he was pushed at the end, I will have to say. I thought that was a little bit of a shove in the end zone. But he had one pass, was thrown right to him, and he dropped it.
I don't know if you remember our top five, bottom five, what I said. Yeah. But I said if they lose to the Buccaneers, they are...
They're in?
They are number 32. So yeah. Don't even tune in to see who my team 32 is. Look for 31-4. I'm telling you right now, it's the Cowboys.
I said, just give me one win, and you're out of my bottom five. Yeah,
nope, they
just
can't one. Do that. They can't do that.
Just one over Tampa Bay. Rookie quarterback. A guy that's just learning the ropes and is just doggone happy to be here. Just give me one win, you get out of my bottom five. And they couldn't even do that. Ugh, God.
The Buccaneers.
You know what's amazing is that they're still not out of it.
Oh.
A 2-7 team. Could turn it around and win the division. Be thankful that the Patriots won that game today. I mean, it keeps you alive. And by the way, I'm not buying the Redskins either, so don't even go down the Redskins road. Cousins, 4 touchdowns today. I ain't buying them yet.
It's the Saints.
Let's calm down. The Saints have the worst defense in the NFL. Let's make this clear. The Saints are awful on defense. Just they have nothing on defense. Everybody looks good against the Saints throwing the ball. Remember, let's not forget that they just played a game against the New York Giants in which Drew Brees threw 7 touchdowns and Eli Manning threw 6. I mean, come on. That's terrible. They're a sieve of a defense. So I'm not buying the Redskins yet.
The Cowboys are tied for the worst record in the NFC with the Lions.
Ugh. And they can still win this crappy division. Still. And if they do it, let me tell you what, Cowboys fans, if they turn around and win this division with Tony Romo, this is one of those seasons you buy the DVD just so you can relive all the embarrassing losses and go, see, we turned this around. Remember when we lost to the Falcons and we lost to the Seahawks and we lost that awful game to the Buccaneers? You could sit your kids down and go, let me tell you what, kids, you never know what can happen when good fortune will smile on you. You turn this around and make the playoffs, you buy every single commemorative DVD they have out there, regardless of where the playoff goes. A 2-7 team turning it around to make the postseason, you buy the DVD. Coming up next hour, we'll continue our look at Week 10. Frank Schwab will join us. We'll get his take. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.